Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Is it hard to determine if your relationship is worth fighting for or if it's run its course? How can you make your love life work for you or know the difference when it's really time to call it quits? My guest is Dr. Sam von Reich. Dr. Sam, and she is a licensed psychologist and certified success coach. So we're talking about relationships. Dr. Sam, tell us a little bit about what goes in to maintaining. Now, my parents were married for 54 years and would have.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, they would have. I mean, and my grandparents were 68 years. So how do we in this generation now look at that and say, did they really have that all-consuming, passionate love that you see on TV, or did they figure out a way to make it work?
Well, what we found from the research, Melanie, is that the foundation of a marriage that really keeps us bound together through thick and through thin is the friendship between people, and that acts kind of as the pilot light in a stove. The fire of passion comes from that sustaining pilot light of friendship, and friendship is something that we can focus on to improve. When problems happen in the relationship, it's because the foundation has some cracks. We've gotten to nurture the friendship, and so there's some specific steps that we can take to rebuild that friendship, or at the very least determine whether that friendship can be strengthened. It might be time to call it quits.
Now, before we give those sort of parameters,
yes,
let's talk about the friendship for a minute, because some people say, I'm married to my best friend, and that's great. And some people say, I am married to my best friend, but there is no passion. And then they're told, well, would you rather keep your marriage and be happy with this best friend and sacrifice the passion? If you are married to your best friend, or if you're in a relationship with someone,
yes,
who is your friend,
mm-hmm,
does it necessarily follow that there is or is not passion? And what do you do if there is one without the other?
I certainly know of people, and you're referencing people, who are married to their best friend, but the passion either was not there strongly to begin with or is no longer there. And I believe that while there are some people who are simply chemically incompatible to a certain extent, and the passion is not going to be there, that we have a much better chance of taking the steps to help people find that type of compatibility and bring passion back into the relationship, or introduce passion that was actually not there as a strong element, as opposed to trying to create friendship between people who are actually not friends. So I would say that we have a better chance of doing that. We have lots of means at our disposal now for cultivating passion between people.
So hang on tight to that friend and then work on the passion and the sexual portion of it.
Absolutely. And if ultimately it turned out that was not a strong element between the two of you, even if you try real hard, then you can make a mutual agreement to end the marriage. However, friendship is the most important thing. And
that's good. That's
that
good.
Is the reason that people get married. They don't marry the person necessarily that they have the most chemical attraction to, because as we all know, after maybe 2 years, that tends to wane even with the strongest the strongest passion between people. It's really the friendship that sustains. And certainly, I'm guessing, is the element that was sustaining in your parents, your grandparents' relationship.
Well, I'm sure that it was too. So now give us your best advice on how to maintain that and how to see if your relationship is worth saving.
Well, I call my kind of what to do for your relationship the five Fs. The first is To be a good partner, you have to be a relatively happy person. And so we must all focus on ourselves and our own growth. People who are inwardly frustrated and disappointed with themselves, the pessimists of the world, are never going to be great spouses.
So put on your own mask before you put on the mask of those loved ones. You have to be...
one of my favorite metaphors, and it is so true. So you can't be a super supportive partner if you don't feel support for yourself, if you're not interested in continuing to grow, and also if you're not aware of inwardly of the stuff that bugs you, because those things certainly can end up easily being projected onto our partners.
Well, they do build up, and so you definitely have to. Okay, so the second one.
And it's very easy, as we know, right? Those things end up coming out with the people most familiar to us. So if you're not really aware of your stuff and working on your stuff, it's going to come out. And guess what? It's more likely to come out with your spouse than with anybody else. The second thing is just the basic maintenance of friendship on a daily and weekly basis. That means taking 20 minutes at the end of a day. It doesn't need to be a whole elaborate process, but making the time to talk a little bit about each other's day and also to talk about the things, spend a little more time, let's say, at the end of the week, talking about the things that are meaningful to each of you separately and things that are meaningful to you together. Your hopes, your dreams, these are the things that keep people feeling close.
So not talking about the bills that have to be paid and the doctor's appointments that have to be made.
There's a time for that, but honestly, those things, as you know, I mean, they end up eating up time that really needs to be spent watering the garden. You're not going to have a beautiful rose garden if you don't fertilize it, if you don't water it. It's just, you know, even the most beautiful garden is gonna wither over time. Also, I would strongly suggest developing your own traditions, your own taking up a recreational activity together that may be new to both of you, and take time to have fun. You know, share laughter. Laughing to me when I see a couple in trouble, but they're still able to make each other laugh, to me that is a very important prognostic factor.
I think so too. Okay, so keep going.
Yeah, number three is fight fair. While I don't need to say an elaborate amount about that, when you are having an argument, and even the happiest couples do, make sure that you're extending your spouse the same kind of courtesy that you would a friend, where one person speaks, the other person listens. If you've made a mistake, own it and apologize. And, you know, when it seems like things are escalating a little bit, don't be afraid to take a two-minute pause and come back to something. As I tell people, don't fight to be right, fight to be happy. That's a very, very important distinction.
It certainly is, and not that easy for a lot of people. And women especially don't, you know, we use words, and words can be mean, you know, and so it's easy not to fight fair. Tell people where they can find a little information on your blog.
That's at drsamvonreich.com. That's drsamvonreich.com. And I have, new content on my blog every week, as well as, I think, hopefully an entertaining and informative website.
Well, certainly, I'm sure because this information is so important. People think about this stuff every day, and the rate of divorce in this country is staggeringly high, and maybe it doesn't have to be. Maybe you can take some of the tips from Dr. Sam and see if you can work it around and find out how to do it. This is Melanie Cole with Radio MD. Stay well.